The Lord's a creator, isn't
he? He is.
He didn't have any trouble killing Satan or anything of it. Thank the Lord for y'all. Thank the Lord that we have a love for one another that supersedes human love. It's that which God has put in our hearts, and it's just a blessing anytime I get to be with you. I had a wonderful week, although it's been stressful at times with the work. Got some work going on in my house. Brother Terry is putting in a bathroom right now, two bathrooms by the time we finish. We're trying to remodel and get all that done. And Brother Terry has been very, very good at allowing me to just kind of hover over him a lot and just kind of look at everything. I'm like one of those inspectors that don't know anything about anything but has to ask questions about everything and anything that doesn't, look just like it maybe, I think it ought to look. I ask, well, what about this or that? I just wanted you to know, brethren, you've got a patient deacon that has put up with his pastor this week, and it's been a real blessing to have that fellowship. I've also tried to do a lot of praying that the Lord would help me in the midst of all of that to act and behave like I'm supposed to act, and the Lord has. He's I'm not saying I've acted like I ought to act, but He surely helped me. He's used many things in many different ways in my personal life this week to let me know He's on His throne and His eyes are in every place and He's watching me, and He loves me, and He's shown me that love in so many ways. The main way is that herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He's paid our sin debt. There's no greater love that could be shown to us than to have one die for us and pay our sin debt and remove from us the sin debt that we would owe, that would cause us to be eternally separated from Him. But the Lord has taken care of that. But He is also dealing with us in our day-to-day life so that our lives might be that which is more honoring and glorifying to the Lord. I hope that's your desire today, that you want to walk closer to Him, you want to be more like Him, you want to love Him more, you want to believe Him more, not just so things will be better for you. Things will be better for you if we do all that, but that God would be honored, that my life would be about giving honor and glory and praise to the Lord. And I just pray that the Lord will bless us as we sit together for just a little while to stir up our minds, that as we leave here, we'll be somewhat different than we were coming in. And that means wherever we are in that growth, there's still some more growing to do. We're not fully grown. We're not there yet. We're not yet attained to that place. The Lord will one day we will reach that home. But until that time, we are to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. And so I just pray the Lord will bless us to learn from His Word. I've got a couple passages in mind. One has come on my mind since we arrived here, and I grabbed my Bible to see if I could find it, and I did. So I'm going to read it in your hearing, and then see how the Lord leads. Maybe all that I have before you. And we've come and sang the hymns, and a sweet prayer has been offered, and I felt the Lord was surely in that. And I've been able to share a few thoughts with you of my love to you, and I believe your love. I feel your love towards me, and it's all because He loved us, and because He died for us, and because He paid a sin debt for us. And if we could hear that over and over again, wouldn't that be just a blessing? If I could really grab that, if I could really just hold on to that and embrace that reality. And it wasn't just, just an empty sound, but I can feel it in my heart. And I just pray the Lord would just be with us as we look together at a portion of His Word. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. I'd like to read in your hearing verses 36 through 38. Matthew chapter 9 and verses 36 through 38. We'll read 35. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest." Jesus went about all the cities and villages, and as he went about, the scripture says he was teaching in their synagogues. Jesus was a master teacher. Jesus was many things. Jesus was our prophet. He was our priest. He is our prophet. He is our priest. He is our king. But he is also our teacher. Jesus is our teacher. And he went teaching in the synagogues, in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus preached the gospel. He's the one who declared the good news of what he would do and what he was going to do. Jesus did everything that he said that he was going to do. He came to save his people from their sins. That's what he came to do. That's what he preached. That's what he taught. And that's exactly what he did. Today we're declaring the same gospel that Jesus preached that was given unto the apostles. And the apostles gave it unto faithful men who would be able to teach others also. And yesterday we heard some good preaching on how we want to continue in that faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That as I stand before you, I'm not just to preach my opinion, my ideas, my thoughts, but I'm to preach the word. I'm to come with what God gives us out of the Word of God. Jesus preached and taught the Word. He preached and taught Scripture. That which was written in the Old Testament, He brought to life. That which was recorded in the Old Testament about Him, He testified from the Old Testament that He said about those Old Testament Scriptures. He said, "In them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." So He declared who He was as God made manifest in the flesh. And there were those that received it, and there were many that rejected it. He said He preached the gospel of the kingdom, and He was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. You know, Jesus is still doing that. We sometimes think of doctors doing the healing. Sometimes we think of other people or other things that we've done that cause healing and helps to take care of disease. But the master physician, Jesus, is our great physician. Aren't you glad today we got a great physician above all the doctors of this world? I was thinking of your little sister Sarah. She went to the doctors of this world to get better, and rather than being made better, she got worse. That kind of reminds me of that little woman that came to Jesus and reached out to touch the hem of His garment. She had gone to many physicians to find the cure for what she had. And rather than getting any better, she got worse. And I tell you today, if you have a spiritual sickness, a spiritual illness, and you go to the doctors so-called out there in this world and you try to find help, there's not going to be any help for you. The only one who can truly help us in any disease and any trouble, whether it's physical, whether it's natural, whether it's spiritual, whatever it might be, is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, He can bless doctors to be of help to you, but it takes the Lord to bless the doctor, doesn't it? My brother Ned told me he had a good doctor that prayed before he had every surgery. I also had a good doctor for many years that would give you a medication and then pray that the medication was going to work for you. And he did it right in the office. He wasn't ashamed to name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved the Lord. And I was blessed to have that kind of doctor. I'll tell you what we have here is that Jesus, where He went, He said He healed every sickness and every disease among the people. He didn't try to do it. I don't believe Jesus ever laid His hand on anyone and they didn't get better. I don't believe Jesus ever touched a leper that was not cleansed. I don't believe Jesus ever tried to do any of that. We're not serving a try-to-want-to God. We're serving a God who speaks and is steadfast. He made the heavens and the earth. Brother Terry's dad had to do a lot of ciphering. Sometimes he said, "You're going to need to leave me alone now, Gary, for a little while. I got some ciphering I've got to do. And if I come walking in the room," he said, "I'm ciphering." Just like, okay, get away, I'm ciphering. The God of heaven didn't have to cipher. He already knew. He purposed when he created the heavens and the earth. And by the way, he not only made it, it's by his power that all of it consists. When you see a raindrop, you can know that's a work of God. When you see the sun shining, you know that's a handiwork of God. When you see the beautiful leaves that have changed and now fallen to the ground, and the seasons that have all occurred, even though they fill my yard right now and I'd like to have them moved away, all of that's the work of Almighty God. And he does, and everything has its own beauty and its own time. To everything there is a beauty and a purpose, to every season under heaven. And the Bible tells us that. And so we want to remember today that the Lord is on his throne. And every day declares that. Nature itself declares that. You know, some people talk about Mother Nature. I believe in Father God, don't you? That he created the heavens and the earth. And that's why it stands the way that it stands. And by his power, it's going to continue to stand until he comes. And when he comes, he's going to wrap all of this up. Because this place is not our home. We're just pilgrims and strangers here below. Pilgrims, because we're traveling on a journey that we're going to reach one day by the grace of God. And we're strangers because we really don't fit into this world. I hope you don't fit in today. I hope this world, you feel like you're a stranger. I just don't fit in here. Because God's little lambs and God's little sheep have a better place awaiting them. But until we leave this world, there's also a place he's provided for us in his kingdom while we're here in this world. And that's why he said, as he looked out upon them, he saw them out there in this world that was so anti-God and so anti-towards the things of God. And he saw that they needed help. Brethren, that's no different today. God's little sheep that are trying to get along in this world on their own, trying to make it on their own, trying to get by doing many different things to find some peace and some rest in this old world. They don't have the answers for life's troubles. They know that something's wrong. They may just not know what it is. Have you been there? I believe that's the experience of many of us as God's little children. When we hear that message Jesus taught, isn't it wonderful that the gospel we preach is the same gospel that the men have taught us by the grace of God? Is the same gospel that the apostles taught? Is the same gospel that Jesus Christ taught? He first spoke these things and then gave them unto the apostles, and then the apostles unto faithful men, and it's come down through the ages to us right here in the year 2022. And you know what? It's as good today as it ever was. When you and I need it. Some people said, well, our forefathers might have needed this. But my mama and daddy might have needed that. My grandparents might have needed that. But I don't need it. Listen, if the Lord awakens you by his grace, the Lord burdens your heart, and the Lord causes you to see what you are by nature, and what you would be if he leaves you alone, you'll need to know some things that are laid down in God's word. That's why preachers preach. That's why the church is here. It's the pillar and it's the ground of the truth. It's where God's children are taught and God's children are fed. And God's ministers need to stand on the watch walls of Zion and declare unto God's little children the words of comfort. Comfort ye my people, saith the God, saith your God. We need to speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that a warfare is accomplished. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all of her iniquities. In other words, we have grace given to us by Almighty God, and we have mercy extended to us so that we don't receive what we deserve and we get that which we do not deserve. And we can all say this, and we do, The Lord has been so good to me. He said when he saw the multitude, Jesus saw the multitude. He'd healed the sickness of those that had come to him among the people. And he healed all of those that he saw fit to heal. He healed every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, and there was a multitude that thronged after him, you can imagine why they would be there. If healing was happening and the body was being cured, what would, you know, when you get sick, you want to find a doctor, someone that can help you. I'm telling you, if you've got trouble today in your life, if your soul is burdened, if your heart is weighed down, if you've got problems too big for you to handle, then you're aware of that, there's no place to go like to the Lord. Now, the scripture clearly says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up again at the last day. And it also says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That means every one of God's little children are going to be called. That means he's going to born them again. They're going to be born again and made alive. He won't miss one of them. And once they've been made alive, that's when they get that emptiness that can only be filled with communion and fellowship with the Lord. When the Lord works in your heart, he opens your spiritual eye. He gives you a spiritual eye. He gives you a spiritual ear. He gives you a spiritual heart so that you then can know the things of God and have an understanding of them, and you have a hunger and a thirst. And if you have a hunger and a thirst, you don't need to get born again. You have already been born again. And that work wasn't done by you and the preacher and the church and the baptismal pool or anything else. It was done by Almighty God in his sovereign power. The wind has blown. The wind bloweth where it listeth. And you can hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. And he does that. And I believe Jesus, when he saw this multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. That is love for them. And if he had compassion on them on that day, you know what that means when it's Jesus? It means the compassion that he had for them on that day is the same today as it ever was, and was the same even before the very foundation of the world. If Jesus has ever loved you, he's always loved you. If Jesus has ever loved you, he will forever love you. If he's ever at all loved you, and as a matter of fact, those of his children are the ones that he chose and foreknew, he foreloved them, and nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's in him that we have life. And he was moved with compassion on them. And the reason he was moved with compassion on them, because he saw them here in this old troubled world, and they were fainting. They were fainting. You know, that's what God's children do in this world. Without the Lord, you're going to faint. Without the Lord, you're not going to have what you need. Without the Lord, there's no going to be no real joy in your heart, no real peace, no real rest. You might have superficial things that make you feel better for a little while, but they don't last very long. As a matter of fact, they end up usually making you feel worse in the long run. That's what Satan tempts us with, things that glitter and shine and look like, boy, that'll just fit my bill. If I can just get involved in that, if I can get a little bit of this, and rather than taking you towards the things of God, they lead you away from the things of God. And God's little children away from the Lord, God's little children away from the Lord's house, God's little children away from reading their Bibles, God's little children away from their prayer life, God's little children, when we run, if we don't draw nigh to the Lord, and so that he draws nigh to us. And I'm not talking about how to get alive. I'm talking about how to live a life abundant once the Lord has made you alive. If we don't draw nigh to him, we're going to faint. The psalmist said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You see, I believe we're gathered, even though there's just a few of us, I believe we're gathered in the land of the living. Out there is the land of the dead. I mean, a lot of people would say, boy, that's where I'd rather be. Well, that's the land of the dead. You know, in other words, running the course of the dead. What did he say we were before he quickened us? And you hath he quickened who were dead. We were among the dead, and as long as we were dead, being among the dead, we fit right in. We walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and we were by nature the children of disobedience, even as others. We didn't want what was in the church. We didn't want what Jesus preached, the apostles preached, or the ministers of the day preached. We didn't want the faith once delivered unto the saints, because it was foolishness unto us, and neither could we know them, because we had a carnal mind that was enmity against God. And until God worked a work of grace in our hearts, we weren't fainting in this world. We were getting along fine. The only thing we wanted to do was just live forever. But that's not going to happen for mankind. You see, the wages of sin is death. And the only answer for that is the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Jesus comes and gives us that life. And once we have that life, when we draw away from Him, and when we stay away from Him, and when we do not come to Him, then we as God's little children, there's a sense in which all of His children are going to come to Him. We know that. Everyone He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. And everyone that He predestinated, them He also called. And there's a sense in which all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. What's that talking about? That's talking about regeneration. Every little one, even the little ones that die. Can a baby come to the Lord? Yes, in regeneration. Can a man who couldn't even speak or have mental problems to the point he couldn't even understand anything a man might say, can the Lord reach someone in that kind of state? Can the Lord reach a person in a vegetative state? Listen, our God can do all things. He speaks life to the dead. And His children will be born of His Spirit and quickened and made alive, and all of them will come to Him, and not one of them will He cast out. And when He comes again, all of them will be gathered together without the loss of one. Listen, that's salvation by grace, not salvation by men's works. The world will tell you that the Lord's done all He can do. First, that doesn't even sound right, does it? But the Lord's done all He can do. That sounds like God has limits. The Bible tells me our God, His ways are unsearchable and past finding out. The hymn writer had it right. How great thou art. We can't begin to talk about the greatness of our and the power of our God. If you're believing in a God you've got to help, you're not believing in a God that's big enough. Listen, the God of the Bible didn't need my help or your help. The God of the Bible has worked His will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and there's none that can stay His hand or say, what doest thou? The God we believe in sent His only begotten Son, who was verily God, and He healed every disease and every sickness among the people that He saw fit to heal. When He spoke, things happened. He walked on the water. He touched blind eyes and men saw. He healed the lame and they walked. He touched the leper, and rather than leprosy coming off of them into Him, virtue came out of Him into them and they were healed. And when He touched you and my life and your life, He changed us. He didn't try to do it. He didn't want to do it. He wasn't working with you to get agreement on it. He didn't even ask you about it. That's the God we serve. He chose us. We choose Him because He chose us. We love Him because He first loved us. And if you have that in you, you're in this world. If you're away from the Lord today, if you're not looking to Him and leaning upon Him, you know that He's worked in your heart, because the Spirit of the Lord is in your heart, and you are fainting. You are needing something that you can't get in the religious world today. You need something that no man can give it to you but the Lord. And you will only find it when you do what He said about this. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Who is that? These are the sheep that are fainting. And He said, and I will what? I will give you rest. Does that sound like works of grace to you when He said, I'll give you rest? When someone gives you something, that sounds like grace, isn't it? Isn't that grace? I'll give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. Somebody said, well, don't you have to come? Listen, if you come, it's because you've been drawn. If you come, it's because He first moved in you. If you come, it's because He gave you the will to come and the want to come. If you love Him at all, it's because He first loved you. If God doesn't begin the work, there's no work going to be done. But because of what He has done, there is much you and I ought to be doing. And He's laying out here some to His disciples what they ought to be doing. Jesus had compassion for God's little children out there in the world that didn't know their way. They were like sheep, as He said. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Do you believe there are some of God's children out there scattered abroad in the world today? Oh, I'll tell you what, I think I'd be on the edge of depressed if I thought the only people that were children of God in this world were just the old Baptist family. That would be just a few, wouldn't it? Just a few. I believe the Lord has a people out of every nation, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, and out of every people. You know why I believe that? Because the Bible teaches that. And I believe He calls them effectually and He won't miss one of them, no matter where they are. No matter whether a preacher gets to them, no matter whether they have a Bible in their hand. Listen, He reaches the baby without the Bible, without the preacher. He can reach any of His people wherever He sees fit. And what He does is in His appointed time, when it pleases Him, He will quicken them. And I believe that's why the planet is still here and He hadn't come and taken us home. Because some of His little children have yet to be born in this world and yet to be born again. And when the last one is born again, I don't see any more reason for the planet to exist. And the Lord's going to carry us home out of this world. And then we'll sing when we all get to heaven. It won't be when we get there, we'll be there. And what a day that'll be. Y'all believe that? You mean you believe that? How do you believe that? Because He gave you a heart to believe it. He gave you a head to believe it, because a man of this world would say, you're crazy. The only thing we've got is what you can see. And when you die, it's just all over. You're just dead like the dog Rover, and they can bury you because you're just dead all over, and that's it. Listen, when a little child of God dies, you read over in the Acts of the Apostles, when Stephen died, he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. And he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That was before the first stone ever hit him. But the Lord allowed him to see what was coming. And he took that dear servant of the that little minister of the gospel, and he carried him out of this old troubled world to be with Him in glory. And he allowed him to see it, and then allowed us Luke to write about it so that you and I could read about it. And I believe that today, don't you? I believe when Brother Gene Hogan, when it was time for him to leave this old world, that happy preacher that had preached faithfully among us, I believe he saw his Savior face to face in a way, as much as I've heard him preach it and saw it down here, in a way he could never see it while he was still living. I believe he's home in glory. And I believe there's a happy time going on over there. I just want you happy here. I want you to be rejoicing in it here. I don't want you to miss what you have right here. You're not going to miss heaven. I don't believe any of my preaching is going to ever help one of God's little children get any more of heaven than they're going to get. Because heaven wasn't bought by me. It wasn't bought by Paul or Apollos. Paul said in one place, did these ministers die for you? No. There was only one who died for me, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ who died for me will have me. If He died for me, He will have me, and I will be with Him in glory. And there's not a possibility, the army of hell could not hinder that from happening, much less a man's little puny will. And I'm glad to preach that. And as much as I want to preach it, I wish I could preach it a little stronger. I wish I could preach it a little louder. Wish I could just declare it a little more bold in order to give honor and praise to a God who cannot fail. And He will not and He cannot. And that's why, little brother and sister, if you're fainting, if you're there tonight wondering, am I going to be able to be with Him? The mess that I am, the sinner that I am, the one that continues to mess up over and over, that has to say something when he ought to keep his mouth shut. And if anything this week has taught me that I got that problem. There's a Brother Terry says amen. He ain't going to say it out loud, but he's going to say it inside. Got to say something. I'll even come and say, "Brother Terry, I'm sorry, but I gotta say, hey, what you want, Brother Gary?" He said, he's so gentle. He said, "Brother Gary, what do you want?" Brother Gary, it's good we use the term brother. You know, that's important. Let's not drop that term. Our brethren use that term. As soon as we stop dropping that term, we start forgetting that's my sister, that's my brother, that's one I'm going to live with in glory. And I'll tell you, don't just see it as the old Baptist family. When you're walking out in this world and God gives you a glimpse of one of his little children, and it might come from somebody that you least expect that it's there, and you see that, you drop down on your knees and thank God that he's given you another little brother and another little sister that you're going to live in heaven with. Brother Gene is seeing it in fullness. I'm seeing it a little bit through the Spirit right now, that I thank God for what he's allowed me to see. I'm looking through the glass darkly. That means I've got a clouded window here. And I can't see it the way I want to see it. But I love to see it as much as I can, don't you? And I know there's a place prepared. Jesus said, "If it were not so, I would not have told you." I think Brother John asked today, "Do you believe that what he said in his word he really meant, and that he would do what he said? Do you believe we can count on what he said?" Jesus said, "If it were not so, I would not have told you." And so what he's saying here, if it wasn't so, Jesus wouldn't have told us. Jesus was perfect. Jesus not only was perfect, Jesus is perfect. He's forever been perfect. He doesn't change. Whatever he ever was, he still is. That's so unlike us. It's hard for us to wrap our heads around that, but that's our Lord. And because he is perfect, if he changed in any way, he'd cease to be perfect. He cannot. He will not change. Cannot change. He's God. God, I am God. I change not. That's why we as the sons of Jacob, that is God's chosen people, are not consumed. He said they were fainting. They were fainting. They were tired and lay down. You see God's little children out there tired. I see them among the religious orders. Some of them working so hard, trying to get some peace about their eternal destiny. Trying to find something that just gives them some fullness inside. Listening to about anything that's supposedly called a gospel. And usually it's enough. You know, what was it Brother Eddie preached one time among us? He said rat poison is 99% rat food and 1% poison. And there's so much that's out there in this world that has so much good in it. And you can listen to it sometimes and it comes so much good. And it'd be just right down the line and right down the line. And like the old preachers used to say, about the time that you get, basically take a good drink of the milk, it's like a cow that's given a good bucket of milk. About the time you're just about to take it and do something with it, they got to kick the bucket or do something because they add that 1% whatever poison, if you want to call it. When you put man in the mix of it, listen, salvation is by grace. It's by grace in the beginning. It's by grace in the middle. It's by grace in the end. It's by grace alone. And God forbid we'd add anything to what he has done, because what we add is a mess. And it just messes up the whole thing. Now, it won't eternally change anything, but it'll keep the sheep hungry. You can't eat that. A lot of people are eating it. A lot of God's children are eating it. But they're really not at peace. Scared to death about living. Scared to death about dying. You say, "Well, preacher, that describes me." Yes, I know it does. But I tell you, don't you get a little... I have that same feeling. But don't you get to feeling better? Brother Terry said, "What I need is some..." He told me on Saturday, I was listening to the preacher, and he was listening to the preacher, and he was working on the bathroom. And he told me on Saturday, he said, "You either need some happy pills... You need some happy pills or some more preaching." I said, "I think I choose more preaching." And what he was saying, the things were worrying me. I don't mean to preach Brother Terry, but he's been a help to me this week. I'm not preaching Brother Terry. I believe the Lord's blessed him to be a help to me. The gospel makes you feel better. The gospel gives you comfort. The gospel helps you when your loved ones have passed. The gospel helps you when your heart's broken. The gospel helps you when you're sick and the doctor doesn't give you a good report. The gospel helps you when life looks like it might be short, rather than all my plans that I had, and all my plans get changed. And though our plans today might look pretty good, hang in there. You never know when what's coming. Y'all got that figured out, haven't you? You never know what's coming around the bend. If we did know what was coming around the bend, we probably wouldn't want to go anywhere. We probably just want to stay right where we are. But I'm telling you today, we sang that hymn, God will take care of you. And I want you to know that's not just a hymn that's written in our books to make us feel better. It's the absolute truth. God will take care of His children. He loved them enough that when He saw them out there in the world, He didn't say, I know they're eternally secure. I know I'm going to die for them. I know heaven's going to be their home. He desired that they might be fed. And if the Lord desires that, shouldn't we desire that for God's people? Shouldn't we as an assembly be praying, Lord, send us some of those little lambs and some of those little sheep among us? And Lord, may we be faithful to feed them the food that comes from Thee. Lord, help me as a minister to go find them and help them along the way and encourage them to come in and do as our old brethren used to do and encourage people to take up their cross and follow their Lord in baptism. And encourage and pray for them that God would send forth laborers into the harvest, because the harvest is white, but there are few laborers. Look around. There are few laborers. There are fewer laborers here than there was 5 years ago, and a lot fewer than 10 years ago, and a whole lot fewer than 20 years ago. And I'm at the point now I can talk about 40 years ago. The doctrine's the same. The love's the same. The joy of the meeting's the same. The Lord's the same. The gospel's the same. Been a lot of changes in the building. Looks a little different. People's faces look different. But that heart that we have of the Lord, that love of His and His manifest presence is still the same. Those who've been here as long as I have know that's true. But I long to see more God's little people. Jesus had compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep. Notice He didn't say they were goats and I'm going to turn them into sheep. Some people think that's the job of the church, to go get a goat and make them a sheep. You can't make a goat a sheep. You know how sheep are made? God made them. That's how the sheep are made. We can't make a sheep. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. He says, they are a sheep having no shepherd. Now, it isn't that they don't have a shepherd, but they don't see their shepherd. They're not looking. He has quickened them and they've been made alive, but they don't really see Jesus. They may see a weak Jesus, but that's not the Jesus of the Bible, is it? They may see a Jesus that'll help you if you let Him. Well, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. They may see an effeminate character that tried to do everything he could, but they crucified him and he didn't have any control over what they were doing. But the Bible teaches that he was in complete control because he came to die. And though they took him with wicked hands and slew him, it was in the predetermined counsel of God that it occurred. The Lord brought it about so that his people might be saved. And he not only died on the cross, he rose again. We have a resurrected Savior in an empty tomb. And he's seated on the right hand of the Father making intercession until one of his little children are about to come home. And then he's standing waiting their return. Do you believe that was just for Stephen, or do you believe that was for every little child of grace? I do believe it. Every one of them. He loves them it's like your children. I mean, how much you love if you got more than one child? How much do you love your children? If you have another child, do you love them any less? They're all different. But you have the same love. You have the same love for them. And sometimes men might not do that. But listen, God isn't like us. He has it perfectly. Every one of his children is loved. There's not going to be one of his children more loved than another. Somebody said, well, what do you think about John, who wrote that about being the disciple that Jesus loved? Well, just because John said he was the disciple that Jesus loved didn't mean that Jesus loved John more than anyone else. It's just that John talked about himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. Isn't that a good way to talk about yourself? You know, in other words, I'm just that little I'm that little weak child of grace that Jesus loved. The only value I have is because Jesus loved me. The only worth that I have is because Jesus loved me. The only ability I have is because Jesus loved me. I want to remember who I am as the one that Jesus loved. And may that help me act and behave much better than I sometimes do. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Jesus said the harvest is plenteous. But the laborers are few. That's not just talking about the ministry. It is talking about the ministry. But it's not just the ministry. Every one of you are a laborer. You have a labor. You have a calling God's given you. God's given you gifts and talents that he hadn't given everyone else. He's given them to you. And he gives them to you according to his good pleasure. He doesn't make all preachers alike. Some he gives 10 talents, some he gives 5 talents, some he gives 2 talents, but he gives it to as he sees fit and according to his good pleasure. And as they use the gifts that he has given them, they are the benefit that God would have them to be. And not one of them deserves any more glory or less glory than the other. None of them deserve glory. All the glory is to be given unto the Lord. And every member of the body of Christ, You're the body of Christ, and members in particular, you have particular talents and abilities that the Lord has given you that are absolutely necessary here among us. They're not going to be appreciated out in the world. As a matter of fact, the world's not going to love you for any of those things. They're going to despise you and hate you. That's why if you try to fit in the world, you know, the prodigal son just wanted to go fit in the world. You know, I just want to leave my father's house and just give me what's coming to me and I'll take it and go out and live in the world. You know what happened? He lost everything he had. You think that's going to be any different with us if we just say, well, I think I'll just forget all this church stuff and I'll just go out and do other things. I'll live out there and I can find peace. I don't have to read my Bible anymore. I'll take it the easy way. I'll do this and I don't want to have to get so involved. Listen, you can get way too involved in the things of the world, but you can't get too involved in the Lord's kingdom. This is the place that ought to have the preeminence in our lives. And our churches are weaker because we have not, as individual members, put it in the most important place. That includes preachers as well as deacons, as well as every member of the church. It ought to be the first thing we're concerned about. Because that's what, he's the one who's given us life. And this is his church. He says, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He said, pray ye. And notice what he said, to pray. This has been on my mind today a lot. How that I often am not, I'm surely not praying nearly as much and as fervently as I ought to. I want to be more mindful. I think I'd worry a lot less if I'd pray a lot more. You all agree with that, right? We all would. If we prayed a lot more, we'd worry a lot less. If we don't pray without, we need to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean we always stay in a position of prayer, which is a good place to be. There's nothing wrong with getting in the position of prayer. Nothing wrong with going in your literal closet and shutting the door and close the world out and praying. Nothing wrong with that. But you don't have to get in a literal closet. You don't have to get in a position of your body. Stephen prayed at first standing, and then he kneeled and prayed, even as he was leaving this world. So the position of the body doesn't matter. Not that position. It's the position of the heart. Where we want to be is praying at be at Jesus' feet, listening to his word, and praying and looking unto him. Pray ye. He said, this is what we're to pray, that the Lord of the harvest, we have a Lord of the harvest. Isn't it good to know we have the Lord of the harvest? That he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It's his harvest. It's not my church. It's his church. This is the Lord's church. It's not our church. It's his church. It's our church in that he's given it to us, but it's his church. We should respect it as such. It's what he's called us to do. It's a burden he's put upon our life. And it's not a burden, it's a blessing. But it is a burden and it is a blessing. Isn't that wonderful how the Lord does that? He burdens you and blesses you with the burden. Gives you a purpose. To give him honor and praise and glory ought to be the purpose of our lives. And before I act and behave in a way that doesn't do that, I ought to think about what the Lord has done for me. Reevaluate. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Have my mind renewed. So that I'd be doing things more in accord with His will. And according to the truth laid down in God's Word. Jesus is the light of the world. And when we follow Him, we don't walk in darkness. When we go any other way, well, we're just falling right back into that path. Doesn't mean we're not His children, but we're just not walking pleasing to the Lord. May the Lord bless us here, this little church, to walk more pleasing to Him. Take our services more. All of us have room to grow in regarding the importance of each meeting, the importance of each gathering, the importance of every time we meet together. And it isn't just about showing up physically. It's about being here once we're here. Because we can be here and then you know how that is. You can even be in the pulpit and have things distract you where your mind's everywhere but where it ought to be. I pray that Brother Terry will remind me of that as he continues to work on my bathroom and my mind scatters to other places. I don't mean to get so personally involved sometimes, but that's the only way I know how to do that. These things are things that come down into our detailed walk of our life. If it's just something we're reading in a book and has no impact on our daily walk, I'm afraid we've missed the point. So please pray for me. We'll be praying for one another. If you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you.